Cambridge 105 Radio.
Well, we don't think anyone was not going to recognise the name of Andrew Cotter as one of the top TV sports broadcasters for the likes of Olympics, Wimbledon, tennis, the Six Nations rugby, the Masters, or you name it. Then came the pandemic and the lockdown, and Andrew Cotter twiddled his thumb for a complete nanosecond and started an incredible successful venture into the sporting commentary about his two dogs, Olive and Mabel, that went into a Twitterphere success. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very indeed. Well. Yeah, welcome to Cambridge Breakfast. I want to ask you, how do you feel after this year of completely going overboard with social media and making your dogs the stars?
How do I feel? I mean, I feel, I suppose, a bit... You know, this year has been extraordinary for so many people, and it's just I sort of twisted it and exaggerated the feelings as well. And it was just because I don't know. You've hit me with quite a big opening question. It's quite an existential question for 8:30 in the morning when I have just woken up 10 minutes ago because my dogs got me up at 4 in the morning instead because they wanted to go outside. So. I don't know. The feelings this year have been extraordinary, and the incredible highs and lows. And I know you'd think that, you know, making your dogs go viral in a video, several videos would make you be feeling constantly elated about everything. But it's not. It's been exactly the same for me as it would be for lots of people because, you know, you're still without work for 7 months, and the dogs were a welcome distraction. In all of that, and then writing a book, obviously, you know, that's been great, but you still have the same sort of as I said, the highs and lows. So God, I'm bringing people down. You give me such a nice build up as well, and now everybody's turning off, everybody's switching off, going, oh my goodness, I didn't realize he was quite so miserable. I don't know, it's difficult, isn't it? But I mean, what the dogs have been is a sort of great escape.
During
the videos for 90 seconds, just laughing with the dogs, and then, you know, the book has been an escape writing it, and I, you know, hope for people reading it as well. So,
it's great.
Yeah, I think
it's
for all of us, our dogs, our pets have been an escape for us. Just a little bit of normality this year that we can look at or scratch the ears of. Not if you've got a goldfish, don't scratch their ears. I wouldn't know where their ears are. So, but you know, just finding a little bit of comfort in our pets, which we do in normal times, but this year we've done it more so than ever.
And the book made me laugh out loud, Andrew, on several occasions.
See, I wonder if that was just a phrase that publishers wrote. It's laugh out loud funny, but
I mean, we can't repeat what you said, but when you described cats, that particularly that made me laugh out loud.
Now, see, now do you know who's turning off? Cat owners are turning off, and that's not because I don't want to besmirch the good name of cats. I do. I love all animals, and I love cats as well, but cats have a tendency to sort of judge you a little bit.
They do.
And they can lie to you a little bit as well.
But
dogs, and particular Labradors, you know, there's no lying. What you see is what you get, and what you get is generally just a happy idiocy. So, and that sort of open and easy love. Cats make you work for their affection as well.
Oh,
and
they
then
do.
Sometimes you'll give the affection.
It's all about me with a cat, isn't it, really?
Exactly. So, listen, I understand. I do. I'm very fond of cats as well, but as I say in the book, my feeling about cats is that I don't want to get one because they do have a tendency to wander onto roads and near roads. So I just couldn't cope with that. So dogs, where you can just keep them on a lead, or they just, you know, curl up beside you. The dog, I love all animals though, but I think dogs would be top of the list.
Andrew, the start of this adventure into the world of social media, and particularly Twitter, in the book you say you're absolutely astounded, and anyone would be when you just literally make a commentary. But it is you, Andrew, making that commentary.
Yeah, it's
so
you that's
it's
funny.
Bound to happen, isn't it? Did you? Well, you said you were shocked, but I'm sure Caroline, your partner, was rolling her eyes, thinking, "Really, you were surprised? You were really surprised about that?"
No, I think she was more rolling her eyes throughout the whole thing, going, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" Even when they went very successful, it was like, just come on now, stop this nonsense. So I think you need someone like that to just to stop you getting too carried away with all of the nonsense. But it hasn't really stopped me, has it? Because it's just been it's been constant nonsense up until, you know, Perfume Ad a couple of weeks ago or whatever it was, and that we made. So yes,
You spoke in the book about almost dread initially,
yes,
because of the success, and you were kind of under pressure to produce more content. I can imagine that.
Well, it is. It is a very strange thing when something goes viral, and then when another video goes viral. And so I apologise for the terminology of viral this year, but it's just when it really takes off, and when everything just explodes around the world of video, it's a very strange feeling, because you feel sort of a slight, something of an elation, you know, this, which is ridiculous. You just put a video out there, but when it's being passed around by so many people in the United States or Canada or South Africa, Australia, wherever it, you know, it goes around the world and people are enjoying it. And then recently the second one, the Game of Bones one, was pinched by, you know, White House Deputy Chief of Staff and used as an allegory for Trump against Biden. And then James Woods, the actor, jumped on that as well, and because he's got right-wing tendencies, and he said, yes, this is exactly what this is. And so when you see that, when you see your two dogs, you know, being passed around like that, it's a very strange feeling as well as a sort of a joyful feeling. But then you get the world coming in and talking to you and talking at you and asking things of you, and you can't answer them all. It's very strange, and it's very hard to cope with, because you can't then answer all of those people, and you wish that you could, you know, because people are being nice, so you wish you could say something back to them. But if you've got, you know, over the year, there have now been, I suppose, you know, close to 100,000 messages on Twitter, and so you can't answer them all, or you'd be here until 2047, when we'll be in tier three, probably.
Yes. But Andrew, tell me the book itself is absolutely fantastic. Linda and I have both been reading it. We've just loved it. It's made my reading moment just more and lovely and fluffy and great. And it just really, it's a beautiful book. And you know, talking to pets is something that we secretly do, don't we? Yeah. We don't want anyone to hear. So when I'm walking my dog and I'm looking down at Murray and I'm thinking, I want to talk to him. But when you're outside...
Murray.
When I'm outside, I think, I can't look like I'm talking to my dog, but that's what I do.
No. Yeah, exactly. And I don't mind being seen talking to my dog. I think that's more sensible than talking to a lot of people at the moment. So Murray's a great name, because I know you'll be out on your walk going, Murray, come on, Murray, stop that. Murray, leave it alone. Come on, no, you had a biscuit earlier, Murray. So it's normal conversation, it's not...
That's true. It's a very posh Scottish name, Murray, actually, isn't it?
It is. Murray, doing there, Murray, now? So I went a bit Billy Connolly there. Murray's a great name. But yes, we talk to our dogs normally, just because they are... and it's us just, our, you know... There's a big thing this year as well, and in particular, I think, going through over Christmas, that is going to become prevalent, and that is, it's quite a heavy topic, but it's loneliness, because we haven't been able to connect with people in the way that we have normally, and we won't this Christmas. And so when we're talking to our pets, or our pets become so, so important, mm-hmm. and social media in a way does, and the internet, because we're able to connect, but when we're able to connect by just talking to our animals, that's normal, that's interaction with another creature. And yes, it's not quite the same as talking to another human, but you are interacting, and it's looking at you, and it, you know, Murray will listen to you talking, might not understand everything you're saying, but will sort of appreciate the sound of your voice. And so when we're interacting with another creature, that's a normal state of affairs. So the more we can do of that, the better.
I think so. Are Olive and Mabel around today, or are they divas now, refusing to come on air?
No, they are, but I've closed the door because we've moved house, and they're confused. They think we're in a holiday cottage and we'll be back to the normal home soon. So I've closed the door, and they're clattering around outside at the moment. But I am cross with them, because Olive decided at about 4:30 that it was time for everyone to get up. And Yeah, and then after that, there's
timing.
And also we've moved now, so our neighbour's got a Labrador who's got a boy Labrador who's got a big deep bark, and so he barked as well at about 5:30, and that set Mabel off. Didn't set her off in terms of barking, set her off in terms of shivering and wondering, what are we? Are we being attacked by another dog? What's going on? So she was confused for about an hour or so. So that was an hour of no sleep, as she just sort of padded around nervously.
Dating, you know, they're going to get admirers, and that's the end of it, really, isn't it?
I did quite enjoy the online dating one.
Yes, so, I thought that was
It's the ideas. You've got to come up with the ideas, though. So everyone's demanding a Christmas special, but it's just it takes a long time to sort of to get something you know, that is actually, that I'm happy to go out into the Twitter sphere. So I'm not sure there will be one, but it's an ongoing thing. There will be more in the new year, if I can think of any ideas.
And Andrew, do you obviously, probably a silly question, but the sporting commentary away from all the beautiful dogs that we all have and we all listen to and your dog, the sporting commentary has taken a real kick, hasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and I was doing rugby this weekend, actually. So I had about seven, eight months of doing nothing at all, and as a freelance sports broadcaster, you know, most people, it's like the events industry, and everybody in the arts and theatre and cinema and events and hospitality, everybody works on a sort of a freelance or self-employed basis, and it's been a horrible year. It's been absolutely dreadful. Some businesses haven't been affected by all this because of the way they work, but the business I'm in and the business so many other people are in has been affected massively, and it's... So I've come back to commentating just recently on a few rugby games, but then it's rugby now without fans, and... Yep. It's a very strange experience because, you know, you add the crowd effect on for the people watching at home.
Yes.
But when you're commentating in the stadium, you're commentating as if on a training match. And it feels, I think, to the players like training matches as well, because they ride off the crowd. They use that energy. And as a commentator, you always use the energy. There were a couple of moments yesterday I was commentating and you've got the sort of general hubbub crowd effect, but that doesn't match what's happening on the pitch. And as a commentator, you respond to what's happening on the pitch, but also the feel of what's happening, the noise of what's happening around you. And so when you haven't got that, it's a very strange experience. And you know, it's sport without all the colour and the soul of it, but it's something, and you know, that's what we've got to cling to at the moment. Something.
Absolutely,
that's
absolutely
right. I loved it when someone said that you're quite good at commentating and you should take it up. Somebody who obviously
try and be
didn't
a sports broadcaster. Well, that's it. I mean, that happens quite a lot with the American audience, which has been quite big for Olive and Mabel. But they say, "Hey, you should be a sports announcer." I don't know, I put on American accent there. That was terrible. It's like,
well, we
Billy
love
Connolly,
it.
Well, you continue with Olive and Mabel commentating.
I don't know. One of the things is, you know, there's a sort of distinction between the first three videos I did, which was, them eating breakfast, then the bones game, and then Mabel standing in a pond doing nothing. And then I sort of moved it on away from commentary because I didn't want to be seen as the joke commentator anymore. You're funny, though, I think they, you know, were. I didn't want to be doing that constantly because then when you go back to doing the normal job, doing your rugby commentary or tennis or golf, or doing the Olympic opening ceremony, you can't have people watching and going, "Oh, that's the joke, the funny commentator," because you've got to be still have a bit of credibility, if I ever did have. But that's what you've got to do. So if I do more videos, it'll be more in line with the ones that you moved on from doing the Zoom meeting to the online dating to building flat pack furniture to poor old Mabel being scammed online. You know, you do the little sketches instead, because that's just putting them into human situations is always something that, you know, I think has got some mileage in it. But I would only do it if I thought it was a good idea. I wouldn't want to put something out that somebody went, that's not so good. You know, and so far that hasn't happened.
Well, this book is brilliant.
It is.
We thoroughly recommend that everyone goes out and buys it. It's called Olive, Mabel and Me, Life and Adventures of Two Very Good Dogs. And it's by Andrew Cotter. Thank you. Oh, you can find it on the website Olive and Mabel.
Olifandmabelbook.com. Again, please, I haven't checked, but please spell Mabel correctly, because Mabel spelled incorrectly takes you to the dark web, so you don't have to go there.
No.
Oh, gosh.
Honestly, it's very, very strange, because it's just part of it that you get all sorts of people trying to sort of join in on the back of the success of something, and there was an alternate website set up. But also, when you put your videos up on YouTube, people just steal the videos. It's an extraordinary thing. It's a thing that I've become sort of very aware of in terms of content theft, which is something you've become, you know, you've worked quite hard to create, and people just take it. So Olive's now whining at the door and wants to come in. I'm sure I'll go and let her in just to say hello into the microphone.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Hang on a second. 2 seconds.
Okay.
it's absolutely brilliant. And we do recommend that you go and you buy the book, because it is hilarious. And if you haven't seen the videos, you know, if you've been living under a rock, that kind of thing I would do. Right. Go online and see. Go into YouTube and just you type in Andrew Cotter, you'll find those videos.
Just snuffing into
Hello,
the microphone.
Olive.
That's all they're doing.
Hello.
Mabel's carrying Hello, carrying her. And I go, you didn't say anything at all.
Do you want Andrew to take your walkies? Do you?
Thing is, I've got my headphones on, so you're just saying that to me at the moment.
Oh, it's wasted. Gone. I was setting you up beautifully there.
Linda, that was me. Yeah. That was really mean. Oh, I love it. Love it. Andrew, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. I wish you all the best. And if you decide to write another book, you know we'll be the first on to buy it, because I've loved this book. It's been an absolute joy to read in the midst of all the bad news we've had. You've brought some joy. So thank you so much.
Yes. I mean, those are the nicest comments I've heard from you and from some people saying, you know, I enjoyed the videos, wasn't sure if I was going to enjoy the book, but I have. So
the book's great.
That's lovely to hear. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Andrew Cotter.